The prospects for impeachment in the Senate trial are interesting to think about. By my count, there's really just roughly 5 Republican senators are on record as seriously considering voting to convict in the Senate trial, in the Senate impeachment trial. I mean, there's Toomey, Sass, Romney, Collins, and Murkowski. And obviously you need a 2/3 majority in the Senate. And so there's sort of an open question about if impeachment were to go forward in the Senate, what would that look like and how would that be accomplishable? Jim Clyburn, Representative Jim Clyburn from South Carolina, and he's in the House, and he's been saying from a certain strategic perspective for Democrats who are interested in pursuing impeachment for President Trump, that they ought to wait till the new Congress is sworn in. On the other hand, story has been breaking over the last 48 hours that Senator Mitch McConnell, the Republican majority leader in the Senate, seems open to the possibility of advocating for impeachment. I mean, what do you think the prospects are in the Senate?
Obviously, if Mitch McConnell is willing to consider voting yes on convicting the president, then that's a completely different conversation than the one we had about impeachment this time last year. And I think the assumption still is that they're not going to get close to that 2/3 majority, but I feel like that expectation changes quite a lot if you've got McConnell and presumably others who, you know, are willing to follow his lead. This morning, I think that there was news that he's not willing to fast track it. And I think in the past, he said that the soonest that it could come before the Senate is the 19th, which is like the day before inauguration. That would be a circus all on its own. I'm not the first to observe Mitch McConnell's strategic success. Yeah. But I think probably doing what he can to set himself up for continued and maintained and maybe increased in some ways power, individually and on behalf of the Republican caucus in the Senate. He'll be in the minority, but how he uses the 50-50 split that he does have there will be really interesting. Even though I think he probably recognizes it's a good thing for Republicans moving forward not to have Trump, who is out of office, in control of the party. McConnell doesn't want that. And so I think he's doing what he can to ensure that Trump is not a monkey on the back of Republicans in the next Congress, while also maintaining as much support as he can amongst Republican voters. And that's just describing it that way. Like, that sounds like a really, really difficult tightrope to walk, but I think he's doing it.
Yeah. You know, one thing just as an Alaskan that I'm fascinated by is the role of Lisa Murkowski. To me, it makes sense to understand her coming forward as the first Republican in the Senate to advocate for impeachment in light of the recent electoral reform that has taken place in the state of Alaska. So we now have ranked choice electoral system, a top four primary system. And to me, that new system gives politicians and representatives like Lisa Murkowski a little bit more leeway in terms of going out on a limb. And I'm wondering if we're going to see some other senators follow in line. Now, you know, there's only 2 states in the country where there's this type of ranked choice electoral system, and it's Alaska and Maine. But I wonder if other states now are going to start to see more ballot measures coming forward in terms of election reform and in particular ranked choice election reform as a kind of strategy for bypassing some of the problems associated with our two-party system. What do you think about that?
Well, yeah, maybe. It does seem clear that it offers somebody like Senator Murkowski more latitude to express her honest positions on things and not feel as beholden to a big political industrial party. And I would note that she hasn't just advocated for impeachment. She actually has called for the president to resign from office. I noticed AFN also joined that call today, expressing publicly that they are advocating for the president to resign. I do think that there's a little bit of a window open for that to happen. I think it's probably more likely at this point that Trump resigns than he gets impeached before inauguration. I think with regard to ranked choice voting, I think for something as innovative as a ranked choice voting system and as new as that in people's, in Americans' minds, I think it probably needs to have a non-traditional allegiance of different political actors and organizations, as it did have here in Alaska. And I also think that a sort of non-traditional political environment as we have here in the state. And there are certainly other places in the United States like that, but I don't think that it's a coincidence that Maine and Alaska are the places that have that, because we share some characteristics, some quirks about the way that people align themselves and the political positions that people take. And so I do think that it probably sets the stage for that to be a more prevalent trend. But I guess I would have said that also before any of these events of the last month.
Just to your point, I'm looking at the Republican senators who have expressed interest in or explicitly advocated for either resignation or impeachment or removal from office. Toomey, Sasse, Romney, Collins, Murkowski, those senators are from Maine, Pennsylvania, Nebraska, Alaska. You know, Romney being from Utah, it's a little bit of an outlier, but those other states, Maine, Pennsylvania, Nebraska, Alaska, they have some political culture in common. They are places that have complicated political identities, but they're all of them either purple or interested in some kind of alternative electoral system or some kind of perhaps more representative stake in the electoral college, right? I mean, every single one of those states has maybe some innovative potential at least.
At this point though, I guess this is a point that I was wanting to make earlier. I would be hard pressed to come up with a state that doesn't fit that description, partly because there is no real textbook for what we're dealing with now. The country has never faced a situation directly analogous to this one. I think that people, to some extent, even people in charge, are kind of grasping at straws, or at least like trying to come up with new ways to deal with the crisis. It seems like there's light at the end of the tunnel, but that's hard to know, really, because so much that had been unexpected has already occurred. Yeah. And so for states everywhere, for municipalities everywhere, looking for outside of the box ways to address or potentially solve the political challenges that we're faced with, I think that we're going to see more and more of it. I'm not optimistic. I want to be clear. I'm not optimistic about what I think the results of that will be, but I think it will certainly include new ways to approaching them.
Nate Bauer directs the University of Alaska Press, and Alexander Hirsch teaches political science at the University of Alaska Fairbanks. I'm Robert Hannon.